God is good. I just want to encourage you, we'll be with Pastor Jim next weekend. Pastor Kara and I will be in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, ministering with them. And I just want to encourage you, don't wait until the end of the month to plan to be here with Pastor Jim. I would talk to people, bring your neighbors, talk to people who you've known, and come and be a part of what God's going to do. He's a mighty man of God, and I want to encourage you to be here. Amen. Those of you who are wondering about operations, when Pastor Karen had her operation, I asked the Lord, I said, what about the healing? And the Lord said to me, and this is something you can pray for when you're praying for Rachel. I said, Lord, what about the healing we pray for? And he says, son, doctors cut and paste, but I still do the healing. Right. Amen. And we cannot question methods, but we must stand in the gap for this mighty woman of God. And she's been with us almost from the beginning, and she stood. So, amen. I want to share this morning, my title is A Source of Your Belief, and I want to just share a little bit and talk because a lot's going on in our culture today. And Pastor Marcus is on a theme which I'm not going to try to pick up on, but I just want to emphasize, if you're not getting these messages, read them over and go back and listen to them, because they're life, okay? They're life. But Father, in Jesus' name, we just ask you to be with us right now as we share your word, and we're just overwhelmed by your presence, your glory. In fact, this day I declare your glory in this place right now, and we thank you in Jesus' name. The current culture that we live in is steeped in humanism and rationalism, and is always seeking to formulate and systemize ideology that we all, they think, must adhere to. And it's going pretty strong now, stronger than I've ever seen it before, where culture is shaping the mindset of mankind, indoctrinating our children. They don't teach our children anymore, they indoctrinate them. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about belief. And I was musing with the Lord this morning. I'm going to say this. I hope it comes out right. I hope the complexity of your mind does not overshadow the simplicity of what I'm about to share with you. Because yeah, it's very simple. I'm going to share it. Very, very simple. The culture establishes and sets precepts, teachings, and laws from which each one's lives in their daily life is governed and creates thoughts, words, and actions. So many of our thoughts, words, and actions are actually coming from the precepts and the teachings and the laws of what man and the culture has said that we must teach and must be. And this is stronger now than ever because of the fact that if you don't believe the way they do, you're wrong. And so the problem we have is that the very essence of the culture is calling into question even the belief system of the church. And this is crucial that we understand what's going on. One spends their life working out the system, learning the system, being governed by the system. As long as we've been on this planet, we've been learning a system, governing a system. In fact, we think life is a system. We think Christianity is a system. We think the church is a system. Christianity, my dear beloved, is not a belief system. It is not a system. And this is something I said, don't let the complexity of your mind overshadow this now, because I'm going to say things you've heard 1,000 times, but I want to say them with the Spirit of God in today's culture. Christianity is not a belief system, but it is the makeup and dynamics of one's being and life in Jesus Christ. So our life as believers and disciples is to be wrapped up in the dynamics and the livelihood and the personhood of Jesus Christ. And if our life is wrapped up in anything else, then you're in for a very difficult road as we proceed down this road that we're walking in. There is a major, I want to talk a little bit about, just to make my point there. There is a major figure, a religious figure, about 400 years before Christ. He was dying. Some of his devotees came to this figure and asked how they could perpetuate his memory. How should we share with the world the remembrance of you? How shall we memorialize you? And the religious figure replied strongly, "Don't bother. It's not me that matters. It is my teachings that should be perpetuated and adhered to throughout the world." Every religion has had someone who's basing their lives on their teachings who are now dead, gone. I was thinking a little bit because Pastor Karen and I have had an interesting road since we walked. We have been under the teachings because of the fellowship we belong to for many, many, many years. We've been under the teachings of some of the most powerful teachers in the kingdom of God. And the Lord reminded me that most of those teachers are gone. They've gone home to be with the Lord, including my pastor. And though their teachings were uplifting and teaching to me, they never sustained, because I figured out they're gone. Their teachings just sit there now. I could go read their books, but I could go listen to their tapes, but they're gone. And so if I relied on the teachings of all my forefathers and now they're gone, what is my faith and my belief system based in? What was or who he is now? Does that seem like this religious figure seems selfless? This thing is noble. Don't remember me. Just remember my teachings. Don't focus on me. Just remember my teachings. This is the basis and source of every religion, and I will add every single denomination that exists today. People are still walking on the teachings of men that are dead and refuse to accept the teachings. I just felt the Holy Ghost there. On the one who's alive, who will never die, who is the same yesterday and today and forever. If I get a little, I've been studying for this weekend coming up, and I've just been overwhelmed by the power and the glory of God. God said to me last weekend, he said, "Son, I'm going to reveal my personhood to the church, my real personhood, and they're going to attach themselves to me, not to anything else." Can you imagine a revival church that's attached to the master? Oh, my God. So systems rule through teachings and create no life. They only create bondage and captivity. And I say that to you because I know of many denominational brothers, the people who call themselves Christians, that are actually captive and held bondage in those teachings. And Christ wants to move, but they're going to measure what Christ does upon the teachings they used to have, and thus they nullify the life of Christ. I want to just say something. I'm an avid reader. I love to read. But none of those readings and none of those books bring life. They bring knowledge and understanding. Oh, they give me some light of who Jesus is, but I don't want to know who Jesus is. I want to know Jesus. I want to know also, and I'll get into this a little bit, I want to know the Holy Spirit. I don't want to read books about the Holy Spirit, and I've read, trust me, many books about the Holy Spirit. But I want to know the Holy Spirit. Zechariah, we all know this. 4:6 says, "So he answered and said to me, 'This is my This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Church, in the days are coming. If you're relying on the teachings of man and do not have a relationship with the personhood of God and Holy Spirit, you're in for a rough time. Because revival's coming in such a fashion that will not be able to describe it with words. And if you're stuck in a man's teaching, then you will not be able to be flexible into the person who God is. Holy Spirit is not a belief system. He is a person. How many times we've heard that? 1,000 times. Simplicity. Oh, he's a person. He's a person. Well, if we really believe that, do we have a relationship with that person? Do we talk to him during the daytime? Do we ask him advice? Do we pray to him? Do we seek to know what he wants? Are we yielding to his will? The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, and I just want to say that, because the third person does not mean sequence of creation or does not mean lesser importance. He's God. Can I say that? He's God. Regarding Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit, if you understand Holy Spirit is in you, please hear this, because again, it's simple. If Holy Spirit is in you, God is in you. You don't need any other source when you have God inside you. Why don't we see more victory? Because most people do not embrace the essence of the presence of the living God within their being. They still are seeking an outside counsel. And they refuse to have the ears, the inner ears, to hear the counsel of the Holy One of Israel. We cannot talk about the Holy Spirit without talking about God. In other words, as I just said, Holy Spirit is God. And so I'm talking about your belief system. Is your belief system based on something living or something written on a page? A lot of people know this. They don't know God, but they know this. And I'll get into that. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Because that's more than a book. That's more than a book. And if you're not getting out of it, anything out of that written material right there, it means that your belief system is based on something written, not something alive who interprets what is written to you. Amen? John, 1 John 5:7 says, there are three that bear witness in heaven. I want you to hear this now. The Father, and who?
The Word.
The Word. Have you been listening to what Pastor Mark's been saying? Okay? Please understand this. Bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Spirit. And these three are
one.
There are three that bear witness on the earth. The Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three are one. We need to start walking in the totality of the oneness of who God is. When I talk about Holy Spirit, I'm talking about God. When I talk about Jesus, I'm talking about God. When I talk about the Father, I'm talking about God. They're all the Godhead, the bodily, and they're all here to bring forth creation as it was intended. The state of the Father, Son, who is the Word, and the Holy Spirit are one. And I want you to hear that because of the fact that the Word is still in heaven.
That's right.
Amen? And the disseminator of the Word is now sitting inside you. So when you say to me, I don't understand the Word, how many of you got frustrated and just thrown the Bible down, walk away, I don't understand this thing, okay? And I've done it, trust me. When I first got saved, I threw my Bible around more times. I just couldn't understand it. It's because I didn't have relationship with the one who wrote the book. And I have relationship with a living, say living.
Living
Word. Then he interprets what Jesus meant and in our reading, and he brings it alive to our spirit. And I agree with Pastor Mark, and we've talked about this. I'm tired of people separating the rhema with the logos. It's all living. It's all living. When I read this, I'm reading the living Word of God. Amen? Because the Holy Spirit is interpreting it for me, is bringing it to my spirit, bringing it to me. He brings life. Amen? Amen. Jesus did not come to establish a system. Please hear me, because I'm going to cut across most churches right now. Jesus did not come to establish a system of religion. Because Christianity is not about a system, it's about a person. And I know this, again, simplicity, but I understand if you want to have a belief system, you must have a relationship with the living God. Everything else. And I said, I got my office full of books. I love to read. My wife would understand. I got books all over the place, and sometimes 3 or 4 books going at a time. Amen. But it's not, those books do not bring life. Only the living word and Christ brings life. Are you understanding me? All right? Some people, Pastor Mark, is that God says, leave those books alone. Okay? You read my word. Okay? Pastor Jim Coos the same way. Amen? I had a pastor in Virginia who was our pastor for a number of years. And he wanted to learn Greek. So he was looking to where he could go to school to learn the original language. And God said, I don't want you going to school. Sound familiar, Pastor Mark? I don't want you going to school. He said, well, what do I want to do? I want to learn. He says, pick up the book and start reading it, and I'll teach you. Literally taught him Greek. Church, God wants more in your life than you're experiencing right now. John 17:14 says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of this world, just as I'm not of this world. How many of you are getting the indication that you're not loved in this world? And maybe, can I say a controversial thing? Maybe if the world loves you, they're not seeing much of the word in you. Is that tough? Maybe if the world loves you, wants to hang out with you, maybe they don't see much of Jesus in you. Because we're sent in the world, the world's rejected the word. But God sent us to bring the word. So what's the dichotomy there is that we're bringing the living word to people. And then we're bringing life to them, not just something written. Not something they can argue with. Verse 15 says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. Sorry about that, guys. But that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also send them into the world. This right now is the reason that our world is in the shape, and our country is in the shape it is right now. Because the church is retreating. Because we how many of you have said this? And don't raise your hand, because I don't share Christ, people, because I don't understand the Bible well enough. Someone might ask me a question I don't know, and it'll make me look foolish because I'm supposed to be a hot Christian. Huh? Jesus said that we are to go out in the world and declare his word and his glory. But we don't do it, the church. We're retreated. Why? Because they aren't treating us right. Doctrine of man. People have to love you. You have to be good to people. You have to say the right things to be a doctrine of man. Doctrine of the devil. Don't say anything to offend anybody. I'm sorry. I don't know about you, but the man that I serve, the one that I am embraced in, the man that I live in, is actually called, my goodness, the rock of offense. You see, the church is, Jesus sent the church out and he gave us the word, and people aren't getting the word because that we are giving them something written. We're not giving them something out of a relationship with Christ. Are you with me? If I go out into the world and share my testimony, which is the spirit of prophecy, amen? I go out and share my testimony. They can't argue about that. Well, such and such person said that about the Bible. No, no, no. I'm talking about here's the testimony Christ did for me and his word inside of me. And it's living and it's well. Can you? What are you going to do about that? You can't do a thing. And so God wants us to start coming alive. Start being who we're claiming to be. Let me just change this around a little bit so we can apply it to what I'm saying to today. We live in a systematic world or culture. However, we are a person. We are in a person and his kingdom and his reign and rule. So I am in this world, but I am not of this world. And so the world is here to indoctrinate you and to teach you how you are to live, which is contrary to what this says. This is over simple. We live in a systematic world and a culture. However, our life is in a person, in Jesus. He's the one that shapes my thinking. In fact, my Bible says that when I met Christ, I was to get a renewed mind. A new spirit, a new heart. When I met Christ, I no longer want you to walk according to the teachings of the world or the 400-year-old religious leader. I don't know. Could be Buddha. Could be Hashemashi. I don't know where it is. The principle is the teachings are ruling our culture because the teachings of Christ are not being perpetuated by the church. Why? Because we don't believe we're qualified. We don't believe we're worthy. We don't trust Holy Ghost in us. I'm going to tell you something. When I got this, because I was one of those that said, I'm a little leery going out witness, Lord, because they might ask me a question, or I really don't know the word. I'm not this line upon line. I just don't know, Lord. And he says, do you trust me? And I said, yes. I said, who do you have in you? I said, you. Who wrote the word? I said, you. Who inspired the word? I said, you. Who's with God? You. Then do you not trust me every time a question comes your way that I won't give you the answer? The bottom line is, church, we don't trust the Lord. And I've never seen a time when I've been asked a question or gone anywhere that I've been fearful, because every time I'm asked a question, I hear that because I have a relationship with him. I have his ear. He has my ear. And every time someone asks me a question that might stump me up, I just pause a moment, and then all of a sudden that sometimes it's not still voice, sometimes it's a thundering voice, but sometimes, and he just comes and he gives me the answer. And when the Holy Spirit gives you the answer, no one can refute it. But we don't trust that. We got to learn to trust the Lord. Can I hear an amen on that? Is this all right? You see, every system and every major religion, except one, is a system developed by man. Please hear me. Developed by man to teach, train, form, empower, and perpetuate the system and become dependent on the system as a source of their belief and the components of their teachings. And so the systematic religious system wants us to learn what they want us to learn, act how they want us to act, which oftentimes is contrary to what God is doing. Can we be current? Can we flow in the Holy Ghost? Can we move in the Spirit of the Lord? You see, what I just described, unfortunately, much of the church is there right now. All across this land, we are so divided because of why? Why are we divided? Has anybody ever thought, well, why is the church so divided? It's simple. Because their belief system is based on writings of a man, not the personhood of Jesus Christ. Is that oversimple? All the denominations are arguing with one another. You can't dip, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't speak. Whatever they are, all they're canceling, they're canceling. Let me say to you, their religion is based on the teachings of a man that is contrary to the life-flowing flow of Holy Spirit and Christ within the church. And yet the church is praying for revival, but yet when Christ says, okay, I want you to get rid of that teaching because it's not false, it's not true, and I want you to flow in me, they choose what? Come on. The teachings over the flow of Christ. And many of us sitting in this room are doing the teachings that we've learned other preachers say, then we are yielding to the voice of the living God in our beings and telling us what we should be doing and what we shouldn't be doing. Jesus never told us to come unto his teachings. Can't find it in the Word. He said, what did he say? He says, he called us to come where? Unto him. He didn't say, come unto my Bible and study it and go to school. He didn't say that. He said, come under him. Come under me, and I will teach you. And when he teaches you, it's everlasting. It never leaves. If I read a book, I might not remember what the book said a month from now. Come on. Some of you don't remember what the preaching was when you go home. But when Christ gives you something, you will not forget it.
That's good.
Good word. 1 Corinthians 11:24 says, and when he gave thanks, this is powerful. We all take communion, but never thought about this. Communion is a system. We've made communion a system. Part of the religious teaching.
Yes, sir.
Listen to me now. 1 Corinthians 11:24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you, and do this in remembrance of me. Verse 25 says, in the same manner, he took the cup after supper and saying, this is the cup of my new covenant this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Do we take communion because that's the teachings of the church? Or do we take communion to come and meet personally with the personhood of the living God? And as we drink this fruit of the vine, we are actually drinking the blood of the Lamb simply going into our being, and we're seeing a living change into our beings. I don't know about you, but after I take communion, I should never be the same, because the body and blood of Christ has infected my body to the good. Amen? Hallelujah. Jesus did not say, do this in remembrance of me, for the remembrance of the word, but the remembrance of him. Matthew 11:27 says, my Father has entrusted everything to me. Say everything.
Everything.
Everything. What do you not understand about everything? Okay. My Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father. And the only one truly knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal to him. Then Jesus said, come unto what?
Me.
All you are weary and heavy, carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Take what? Teachings. Take my yoke, take my personhood, take who I am upon you, take life upon you, take it upon you. And let me teach, please hear this, and let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, I don't want to dispel coming to church and giving good teaching. The Bible says that we are to be in church. In fact, if people would be listening to Christ and following the dictates of what Jesus says, not what mankind says, can I say this? This church would be packed out. Just like every other church. Well, some of the people in the church says that I don't have to go to church every Sunday as long as I pray to Jesus. It's true. But I got a problem with that, because the word says, forsake not the assembly of the people. Why? Because wherever there are two or three gathered together, there I, the personhood, the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God is there and amongst of you, in the midst of you.
That's right. Amen.
To bring life.
That's right.
Notice that Jesus did not give you a reading list. 15 ways to become a better Christian. He did not give you a set of exercises to do to condition yourselves. 3 hours of prayer tomorrow, 1 hour the next day, and 16 hours worth of Bible reading. He didn't say any of that. Now, that's not saying you shouldn't be praying, you shouldn't be reading your Bible. Don't get on that road. But you got to hear what the Lord is saying. He says, come unto me and I'll give you rest. I'll teach you. Amen. So he didn't give you a set of exercises to condition yourself. Or a lot of things to do to earn your rest. Oh, hello. Like I got to clean the church to earn my rest. Now you should be cleaning the church. Okay? But that's not the reason you're doing it. You're doing it for service. Amen? So lots of things to do to earn your rest and to find your inner self. Simply said, come unto, he simply said, come unto me a person and I will give to you. I want to hear this because you see there's much philosophy in there like the church. Just climb into yourself and find out what's wrong. I'm going to tell you something, church. If I'm going to climb in myself, I want to find one thing and one thing only. And that's Holy Spirit. That's who I want to find inside me. I don't want to find my inner feelings because my feelings have been nailed to the cross. I don't want to find some philosophy that tells me that if you just capture what you used to be or what happened to you, no, Jesus came and gave me life and gave it more abundantly. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. When I look inside of me, I want to see only one thing. I want to see the life of Jesus Christ and what he's trying to teach me through that particular circumstance I'm going through. Amen? So let me just say this very simplistically. Jesus Christ is the source of your belief. He's it all. Why? Because the Father gave him everything. All things are created in him, for him, and by him. Jesus Christ is the essence of what our lives are all about. It's not about, and I love this man of God, but it's not about Pastor Mark. It's not about me. It's not about some other preacher. Maybe we need to start spending as much time in the face of Jesus as we do listening to preachers, maybe our Christianity would turn into discipleship. That came up pretty strong, didn't it? Romans 8, 1 through 4, a New Living Translation. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you, say freed, from the power of sin, the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. I put parentheses in there, emphasis added. Our faulty belief system. Amen? How many of you know that all the laws and the rituals and everything actually was a belief system in the Old Testament? Come on now. I'm going to read that again. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in the body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law could be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our own sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. God doesn't want us following a system. Now, the Old Testament, it was a ritual. It was God set the system up to guide mankind. And Christ is evident through the entire system. Every book of the Bible declares Jesus. Every book of the Bible, just if you don't believe me, go study it. Every book of the Bible declares Jesus. Amen? The law was to guide people to the truth and to the Word. But it was weak because of sinful man. So God did the next best thing, and he sent his son, simplicity again, who became our Savior and our Master and our teacher. And then he died on the cross, and he left so he could send what?
The Helper.
The Helper, who is also now your teacher, your comforter. If you want comfort, stop trying to seek everybody else out. Maybe just, this is tough, I know, but hang in there with me. Just sit there for a moment, breathe 10 times, and say, Holy Spirit, I need counsel. You know why you won't do that? Most Christians? Because they don't want to hear what he's got to say.
Right.
Because they're fearful that he's going to make them do something that's terrible. Come on.
Who's going to make them face themselves?
Yeah, that's the terrible thing. No. Pastor Mark just said he's going to make them face themselves. Amen. And so I want you to understand this. See, Christ came to destroy sin. Man's system is here to entice you to be a part of that culture. How many of you have struggled? Don't raise your hand. How many of you have struggled with sin or with temptations or whatever? I mean, come on. The system's here to tempt you. And reading all the books on how to overcome it's not going to help you a lick. The only thing that's going to help you is getting in the face of Jesus and let him teach you and deliver you out of whatever you don't. I don't care what we're facing. And we all face it. I face stuff. I mean, come on, let's be real. We all face it. And even to this day, we face it. The way people dress, the way people act today, my God. Everybody's facing it. But what you face on the outside, if you have the Holy Ghost on the inside sanctifying you, what you face on the outside cannot penetrate the wall of Holy Spirit to capture your heart or spirit on the inside. Are you hearing me? Just because of all this indoctrination and what this what is it, woke and all this stuff going on, it's all about programming you to not be what God's called you to be. Oh, that's for the world. Don't you believe that for a moment. It's all arrowed right towards the church.
That's right.
Because it's a system. And if you operate or live in that system, you must do what it tells you to do. That's why God said, please hear me, I sent you into the world, but you are not of the world. I sent you in there to affect the world, not to be affected by its system and come under its control. Well, it could cause harm to me. Yeah, it could. Sorry. You see, even the Old Testament was a belief system, even though Jesus was a shadow declared of his coming in every single book of the Bible. The system's laws and rituals and regulations was not relationship. Everything in the Old Testament is from the outside in. Your pastor's been teaching you this. Everything's from the outside in. Even David was outside in. I have a Holy Ghost army. Yeah, he did. He was a mighty man of God, but he did not have a Holy Ghost in him. Because that was reserved by only those who have been bought and purchased by the living Christ.
That's right.
That's the only ones that can have it. And so, let me give you a couple things here. Christianity is not just another religion propagating an ideology. Christianity is not another religion remembering the teachings of the founder. Christianity is not another religion reiterating the tenets of its founders or former leaders. Christianity is about the truth. And how do we know the truth? If you don't know the truth, you don't know Jesus. Because Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the personhood of the truth. And this is the thing the Lord is showing me, that God is going to reveal his personhood to all of us. Are we going to be open? And I'm talking about his person. He's going to reveal who he really is. If I'm seeking truth, he's son, I am truth. I'm seeking healing. Son, I am healing. Go study the I Ams throughout the Word and find out what Christ really is. I'm seeking prosperity, says Son, I am prosperity. I'm seeking peace. No, I am peace. Why do we go in all around? I read 15 different books on 15 steps and I have peace. I don't have to do that because I know the Prince of Peace who lives inside of me. Christianity is not another religion demanding conformity in a particular belief system or database doctrine. In other words, the writings of men. Now, this is contrary to what you hear a lot in the church today, because we are coming under the orders of succumbing to a culture that this is the way you'll think. And let me say this to you, because if you don't, I'm trying to be sensitive here, but if you're going to live for Christ, you might not be accepted. If you're going to preach the word, you might end up in jail. Come on. Oh, I don't want to do that. You don't? We had a fellow by the name of Prim Padan. Never forget this man. He came from Nepal. Was that Nepal? Huh? Never forget this man. In Nepal, if you mention Jesus, you're arrested. If you teach Jesus, you're in jail. If you baptize, you could be put to death. So Prem would go preach Jesus. They would arrest him and throw him in jail. And he gave the description of their jail. And it wasn't anything like what we got today. They were bound up, tied in a squat position and thrown in like a cave type thing. For days.